Good afternoon and welcome to Embracing the Chase, brought to you by InfinitelyHome.com, the website for first-time and affordable home buyers. Also brought to you by Building Fortunes Radio and Blog Talk Radio, Embracing the Chase is a radio show presenting a unique personal improvement through thought for which may make your life a little bit better and your business grow. You know, today when I started thinking about what we were going to talk about, I thought about the post that I did about bad habits. And I thought, well, maybe this is a good time to talk about how to break bad habits. Because it's very difficult. And I speak from experience, because I must have tried to quit smoking 100 times. And that's not an exaggeration. I smoked since I was 12 years old. So I was in my 60s. When I first started thinking about quitting, and did not quit until about 2 years ago. So the reality of the situation is that it took me a long time to do it. And finally, it was just willpower that accomplished it, and sometimes that's all it takes, but I'm going to give you a little insight into some things that can work. But frankly speaking, if I can quit smoking after smoking for almost 65 years, and if I can lose weight at the same time that I quit smoking through willpower and breaking bad habits, you can accomplish anything you want to accomplish. Because they say that smoking is one of the most difficult things to break. And I agree, it is. But once you decide to do it, it can be accomplished. So, breaking bad habits isn't about stopping, but substituting. And I know it's easy to think of habits falling into black and white categories. Exercising is good, biting nails are bad, but habits also sit on a continuum in our ability to exercise control over them. Some are mild, like taking off your shoes and dumping in the middle of the living room every night. Others, moderate, like eating dinner in front of the TV, or drinking too much when you go to a party. And then there are those that are strong and addictive, like smoking, the nail biting, and watching porn. Habits become hard to break because they are deeply wired by constant repetition into our brains. And when you add pleasure to them, like you have with drugs or porn, for example, the pleasure centers of the midbrain get fired up as well and continue to fire long after the habits stop, creating the cravings that people struggle with. And I know that we don't think about things like porn as an addiction, but it is, frankly. Habits are also patterns of behavior. And it is the breaking of patterns that is the key to breaking the habit themselves. Usually, there is a clear trigger to start the pattern. Sometimes the triggers are emotional. The wanting a drink or a cigarette or nail biting driven by stress. Other times, the trigger is more simply situational or environmental. You see the TV and couch as soon as you hit the front door. And now your brain connects the dots, and eating dinner in front of the TV on the couch is not that far behind. Most often it is a combination of both. The mix of social anxiety and the party environment that leads you to heavier drinking. I can tell you that when I quit smoking, the most difficult time for me was driving. It wasn't after I ate. That was relatively simple. But I used to get in the car, and the first thing I did was light up a cigarette. And I would smoke the cigarette all the way to where I was going. It might be just down the corner to the drugstore or the grocery store. But I would smoke a cigarette, and then I would toss the cigarette out. And then when I got done with my errands, I would get back in the car. First thing I did was light up a cigarette. So in a period of, let's say, 20 minutes, I'd have 2 cigarettes and probably not smoke all of them, which was nothing more than wasteful and expensive. I mean, it got to be cigarettes were $4 or $5 a pack. That's a whole lot of money to spend on something going up in smoke. And it's the same thing with everything that you're doing. But you know, when we talk about patterns of behavior, they're also usually wrapped up in larger ones. This is where routines come to run our lives. Here is where, as soon as you hit the front door after work, the dumping the shoes and the grabbing a beer and sitting in front of the TV with dinner flow together without much thought. Just as your morning work break automatically leads you and your friend Kate going outside and chatting while each of you have your mid-morning cigarette, overall, the autopilot habit or routine behaviors are evolutionary and practically good things. They keep us from having to reinvent the wheel of our daily lives by making an infinite number of decisions all day long, which in turn provide us with more brain space to think about more important and creative things. The downside of this routine behavior comes when those patterns land more in the bad column than the good. So if you have bad habits you want to break, let's talk about some steps to get you started. But first of all, you have to define the concrete behavior you want to change. Getting more exercise or treating your boyfriend better may sound great, but they give you very little to mentally or behaviorally grasp onto. You need to prime the pump, so to speak, by thinking in terms of specific, doable behaviors, like not dumping your shoes in the living room, but putting them in your closet, not eating in front of the TV, but at the dining room or kitchen table, going for a half an hour run 5 days a week, sending your boyfriend a complimentary text once a day, rather than sending him nothing or negative ones. Drill down. All the way down to the concrete. And then identify the triggers. What is a trigger for what you do? I will tell you that my wife and I both have struggled with losing weight. It's a big deal because both of us love to eat. And we like good, rich food. And bread. Oh, we like bread. The refrigerator may be enough of a trigger to have us go for a beer once I hit the door, just as seeing the junk food on the counter will get you bored. Or it may be that the spark of social anxiety that cranks up the drinking when you think of an upcoming event with more than three people. By identifying your triggers, you have a way of pushing back and not having that autopilot click in. But some people have a difficult time doing this. And if this is true for you, that you have a difficult time knowing what emotional triggers are and how you can work them, I want you, for example, when you are craving a drink or biting your nails, I want you to slow down and use your awareness of these behaviors as signals to ask yourself, what emotionally is going on? And then deal with it. Because we're wanting to break patterns, you now want to do something about the triggers themselves. Here, you proactively get the junk food or beer out of the house, or when you realize while driving home that you are stressed and you deliberately sit in the car and listen to music that you like while sitting in the driveway, or do a few minutes of deep breathing exercises to relax, rather than automatically marching into the kitchen, the danger zone. We're going to stop right here, take a short break. I'll be back in about 45 seconds.
Do you want to learn more about affordable home ownership and what Ed Robinson with the National Affordable Home Ownership Coalition nonprofit has going on in the Sarasota, Bradenton, Florida area? Well, go to infinitelyhome.com and read all about it. Don't forget to go to the events page for upcoming seminars in the area and the newsletter can be found on the Home Sweet Home page. See you on the website, which once again is www.infinitelyhome.com.
Breaking habits really isn't about stopping, but substituting. Here's where you come up with a plan for managing the party without drinking. Get a mocktail and hang close by your good friend rather than grabbing a drink and being with stuck-up bunch of strangers. Or if you're concerned about your binge eating at night, plan to bring 2 cookies up to your bedroom at 10 o'clock and resolve not to go back downstairs for the rest of the evening to keep from finding yourself wandering around the kitchen all evening and veering toward the kitchen. Or in order to avoid the temptation of internet porn, plan to unplug your computer when you get home and stay away from electronics and instead settle in with that new book you got for your birthday. Or call your mom. All to avoid getting started in your routine. I will tell you that when we started and we were successful doing it, we both of us supported each other. We both of us talked about what needed to be done. We probably beat it to death at times with some of our friends. But you know, at the end of the day, that's what it took for us to be successful. And now we're still on the program. We cheat every once in a while and have some bread or pizza or something that's not the best for us. But on most cases, we've eliminated carbs from our system for the most part, at least the bad ones. And so now we're trying to do things a little bit better, trying to moderate the amount of food that we eat. So at the end of the day, we can continually lose weight down to where we both want to be. The key here is mapping out before what happens with the triggers so that they don't have a chance to kick in. Here we are widening the context that surrounds the habit pattern. Here you go to the gym during your lunch break because you know after work it's too hard when you're so tired. Or you realize you don't sit at the dining room table for dinner because it's so loaded down with papers and such, and so you need to start by keeping both the table clear and setting the table for dinner before you leave for work. By looking at and changing the larger pattern, you are actually not only making it easier to tackle the core habit, but you are practicing putting your willpower in place on smaller, easier pattern-breaking behaviors. This can add to your sense of empowerment. It can make you feel stronger and give you the confidence you need to beat the habit. I will tell you that when I quit smoking, nothing had ever worked for me before. I'd tried everything. But there was a pill that they had out, and I don't remember the name of it right now, and I'm not going to give it a commercial if I do, but I started taking that pill. And what it did was it kept the cravings down to a manageable amount, and pretty soon it was about me being able to manage that small little tick that said, oh, you need to go have a cigarette, you just ate, or, oh, you're in the car, you need to have a cigarette. When I overcame those things by basically just willpower, everything else is the same. And you can do the same. They're reminders to help you break the pattern by creating the positive triggers and alerts to keep you on track. Put your running shoes at the side of your bed so you see them first thing in the morning, and put an alert on your phone to leave for the gym, or check in with yourself and gauge your stress level on the way home before it gets too high and out of control. Sometimes we need support, like I talked about with my wife. Each of us needed support as we were dieting. Get a running buddy or a party buddy or someone you can call or an online forum you can tap into when those cravings start kicking in. If you're starting to struggle, talk to your friend about going to get a quick cup of coffee together rather than standing outside with your cigarettes. You know, it's like going to an AA meeting. You're not an alcoholic. but you may as well be. And then reward yourself. At some point in your efforts to break a habit, you reach a day or a point where you go, wow, I'm not struggling with this anymore. You're feeling encouraged. You feel you have emotionally made it to where life is not as hard as it was, and there is a little payoff. So, take yourself out to dinner. I mean, let's be real honest. If you're going to go off of a habit, it's better to go off of your diet than it is to light up a cigarette. I'll tell you, that's the truth. But this is normal. There is a low point in the process and a high point in the process, and you need to keep your eye on the prize. But you also need to make sure you build in a payoff. Here you deliberately pat yourself on the back for having dinner at the table rather than the couch. Even though you won't immediately feel better, you take the money you would be spending on alcohol or drugs or cigarettes and save it up to buy something else you always wanted. A new outfit, a high-end mini vacation. Again, you sink into having folks around you to cheer you on and help you realize that you are making progress and on the right path. It's really important that you realize rewards, because persistence and patience are what are going to be paying off. That's the name of the game. Of course, realizing that it will take time for the new brain connects to kick in, for the old brain fridges to calm down, and for new patterns to replace the old, don't beat yourself up for slip-ups or use them as rationales for quitting. Take it one day at a time. If you need professional help, pick up the phone. There are phone lines that you can call for help with smoking, for help with drinking, for help with anything. They're out there. If you've done the best you can and you're still struggling, consider seeking professional help. This may be a doctor who can prescribe the meds for the underlying anxiety or depression, a therapist who can not only help you unravel the source and a driver for your habits, but also create some steady support and accountability. While all habits are not created equally, the overarching goal is the same. Namely, you're taking more charge of your life, being proactive rather than reactive, deliberate rather than routinized. So are you ready to take the challenge? What is your problem? What is your habit you need to break? What is the challenge that you have? Once you identify it, it makes it that much easier. And you can't fight an enemy if you don't know who he is. So that's who you're battling with, that enemy. And I will tell you, they are all the same. No matter how or what kind of habit you're dealing with, it is the same. And you may joke about it, and you may kid your friends about it, and you may kid your wife about it, but at the end of the day, it's hell on wheels. And there isn't anything you can do, and it can be damaging. Cigarette smoking can be damaging. I'm lucky that I smoked all those years and didn't even have an indication of lung cancer. I'm lucky that I'm still alive because I had open heart surgery, I had a heart attack, I had a quadruple bypass, and I had two stents, and I'm still walking around after smoking 2 to 3 packs a day. So, I count my blessings. I can tell you that when my wife and I got married, I told her that if I lived past the age of 50, it'd be a miracle, because no man in my family ever had. And here I am today, I'm 71, outlived myself by 20 years. Pretty amazing in its own right, because I beat a habit. And now, we continue to build up our bodies so that we can live longer. Think about how much we're going to see if you hang around this old world. I mean, my wife and I were talking the other day about what has transpired in the last 20 years. It is friggin' amazing what has gone on. I mean, think of the internet, what it was like even in the late 60s, late 90s. It wasn't anything compared to what it is now. Think about what has happened electronically with everything that we do. Think about our cars. They drive themselves now. I mean, I can guarantee you that if anyone even thought about that back in the late 90s, it was just a gleam in their eye somewhere. I mean, they didn't have any idea that they were going to develop that. But here it sits. Pretty amazing. What will we see in the next 20 years? I kind of want to be around to find out. I kind of want to be around to see what is discovered. Be able to experience some of the things that happen. I mean, now, if you got the money, you can book a space flight. And they'll take you up there. And that's pretty interesting in itself. Considering just a short while ago, we were landing on the moon. And now, all aboard for Mars. Pretty exciting. But that's up to you. You need to decide that you're going to break the habit. You need to decide where we stand. We're going to go to one other level that I think we probably need to with this, and that is, how do you address the habit? When I was quitting smoking, I don't think my wife knows this, but when I was quitting smoking, I gave it a name. It was the old bastard. And whenever I would think about having a cigarette, I said, I'm not going to do it, you old bastard. And I said it in my mind. I didn't say it out loud. I never said it out loud. But it was a motivator for me because that's how I defined it. It was killing me. It was going to kill me. And I wasn't going to let it. And so I thought about addressing it. And then I thought about writing it a letter. And I thought about sending it an email. And all those things that you think about as you're dealing with it. And I begin to learn how to work without needing a cigarette. Because I can tell you that I used to do some of my best thinking by going out on the lanai, lighting up a cigarette or two, and thinking about what I was working on. And I learned to do that. You're going to have to change your habits. You're going to have to gain confidence in your ability to do it without the crutches. All of those things that you do that benefit you with a drink in your hand or a cigarette in your fingers or the food in your mouth, you can do the same thing without them. Probably better. Because if it involves thinking, it's definitely going to be better. Think about sex. Do you realize that alcohol, food, and cigarettes are the biggest detriments to sex there is? They're all depressants for your sex drive. They get you to the point to where you can't perform because you're smoking or you're drinking or you're eating too much. Bottom line is, you got to want your life to be good. And if it's not, then you have to make it that way by getting rid of the bad stuff. Tell the old bastard goodbye. Speaking of saying goodbye, we're going to stop the program a little short today because I've run out of something to say. And so I bid you adieu until tomorrow. And you have a good evening. This is Ed Robinson signing off.